Santara Chirimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Bol Samaveta Bhakta Brinda ki jai. All grace the assembled devotees. All grace the assembled devotees. All grace the assembled devotees. All grace the Shri Shri Guru Gaurango. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, The Lord's Opulences. Today's text 3 through 5. Text 3, word meanings. Yeshu, Yeshu, in which various. Cha also, bhuteshu, forms, bhaktya, with devotion, tvam, you, parama rushaya, the great sages, upasinaha, worshipping, prapadyante, achieve, sangsiddhim, perfection, tat, that, vadasva, please speak. May to me. Yeshu, Yeshu, Chabuteshu. Bhaktya Tvam Paramarshaya. Upasina Prapadyante. Sangsiddhim Tadvadasvame. Yeshu, Yeshu, Chabhuteshu. Bhaktya Tvam Paramarshaya. Upasina Prapadyante. Sangsiddhim Tadvadasvame. Yeshu, Yeshu, Chabhuteshu. Bhaktya Tvam Paramarshaya. Upasina Prapadyante. Sangsiddhim Tadvadasvame.
Amen.
Translation. This is Uddhava speaking. Please tell me of the perfections that great sages achieve by worshipping you with devotion. Also, kindly explain which of your different forms they worship. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Sri Uddhava here inquires about the spiritual opulences of the Lord, which consist primarily of his Vishnu Tattva expansions, such as Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Padyumna, and Aniruddha. By worshipping different plenary expansions of the Lord, one achieves particular perfections, and Sri Uddhava wants to know about this. Text 4. Gurascharasi bhutatma bhutanam bhutabhavana tatvam pasyanti bhutani pasyantam mohitanute. O my Lord, maintainer of all, although you are the supersoul of the living entities, you remain hidden. Thus, being bewildered by you, the living entities cannot see you, although you are seeing them. Purport. The Lord exists as the supersoul within everything. He also appears in various incarnations, or sometimes empowers a devotee to act as an incarnation. All such forms of the Lord are unknown to the non-devotees. The bewildered conditioned souls think that the supreme enjoyer, Sri Krishna, is actually meant to be enjoyed by them for their sense gratification, praying to God for specific material benedictions and assuming God's creation to be their personal property. The non-devotees cannot understand the actual form of the Lord. They therefore remain foolish and bewildered. Within the universe, everything is subject to creation, maintenance, and destruction, and thus the Supersoul is the only actual controller in the material world. Unfortunately, when the Supersoul appears in various incarnations to clarify his position, ignorant persons think that the Supersoul is merely another creation of the modes of material nature. As stated in this verse, they cannot see that person who is actually seeing them and simply remain bewildered. Yakasya bhuman divi vairasayam vibhutayo dikshu mahavibhute tamayam atyayanu bhavitaste namamite tirta padangri padmam. O supremely potent Lord, please explain to me your innumerable potencies, which you manifest on the earth, in heaven, in hell, and indeed in all directions. I offer my humble obeisances at your lotus feet, which are the shelter of all holy places. Purport. Uddhava here inquires about the Lord's material and spiritual potencies as manifested within our universe. Just as ordinary animals or insects living in human cities cannot appreciate the scientific, cultural, or military achievements of man, similarly, foolish materialists cannot appreciate the mighty opulences of the personality of Godhead, even those manifested within our universe. For the appreciation of ordinary human beings, Uddhava requests the Lord to reveal exactly how and in what forms he expands his potencies. As already explained, the Lord is the essential ingredient of all that exists, and thus any mighty or opulent manifestation must ultimately rest on the Lord himself. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I'll go through each verse here. This first one. I always have a problem. I'm not too good at just speaking about things in general. I need to speak about exactly what's there, because I don't have any realization, so it's all kind of academic for me. So when I looked at this verse, I couldn't figure it out. I still can't figure it out. And not quite sure what it's doing there, actually. Yeshu, it says here, the Sanskrit is quite straightforward. In various, I'll do the word for word, in various forms, with devotion, you, the great sages, worship and achieve perfection. Please speak about that. So please tell me of the perfections that great sages achieve by worshiping you with devotion. Also kindly explain which of your different forms they worship. So this chapter is about the vibhutis. So there's a distinction between, of course, in one purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this, because the word is used also in this chapter, he says that vibhutis are usually the vibhanaṃsa, or the expansions of Krishna within the material world, like the living entities. Those are usually considered the vibhutis. And the aṃshas, or swaṃshas, Vishnu tattva, those in the Vishnu tattva category, they're usually not listed as vibhuti. But in this chapter, Krishna is using the word to reply to mean both of them. But in any case, here he's saying, Uddhava is asking, what perfections the great sages achieve by worshipping you with devotion, which seems to be what the whole last chapter was about. Okay? Even it was explained there, if you want to get anima siddhi, then you meditate on Krishna, or the super soul, Paramatma, in a very tiny form. And if you want to get, you want to be greater than the greatest, then you meditate on the Mahapurusha and so on. And then it says here, kindly explain which different forms they worship. So in the purport, Sri Uddhava here inquires about the spiritual opulences of the Lord, which consist primarily of his Vishnu Tattva expansion, such as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. So I have no idea where that's coming from, that sentence, why they would say this. That Krishna's spiritual opulence. First of all, when I think of opulence, I usually don't think of Krishna's Vishnu Tattva expansions. I tend to think of beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, renunciation, or else the vibhutis that are given in the 7th chapter and 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So here, the spiritual opulences are taken as the Vishnu Tattva, especially, or such as the Chatur Vyuha. So I don't know where that's coming from exactly, why they would say that. Then it says, by worshipping different plenary expansions of the Lord, one achieves particular perfections. And Sri Uddhava wants to know about this. Now the other reason that I'm confused is because I went through the whole chapter, and as far as I can tell, Krishna doesn't answer this question. He doesn't talk about this. He just lists the vibhutis just as they come out, as we basically like the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There's just a whole list. In fact, because I couldn't think of anything to say, I made up the list, so I'm going to read it to you. This is it's quite an extensive list. You'll find here, now I'm not going to read, when Krishna gives it, just like in Bhagavad Gita, he says, among this, I am that. So I'm only going to give you the I am at, and not going to give you the among this part, to make it shorter. This is just a whole list that Krishna says, I am all of these things. Depending on how you number, there's over 100 of them. There's something like 112 at the depending on how you number them, because there are also some groups in here. So, anyway, it doesn't take that long. It takes a few minutes, but I'll just read through them. It's a bit of a meditation. Krishna is all of these things. You just keep that in mind. This is in this chapter that we're reading right now. This is what's coming up in the next week or so. And a lot of these don't have purports, because they seem to be quite self-explanatory. But there are one or two that I didn't understand, and they didn't have purports, so that was frustrating. So here we go. This is this list. Krishna's going to mention all of these things in this chapter. So this is kind of like an expanded chapter summary. So among Krishna is the super soul. Now he begins with the super soul. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that this is how he begins also in the Bhagavad Gita. There's also another parallel here with the Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning of this chapter, Uddhava glorifies Krishna as the supreme Brahman. So in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the vibhutis, they begin just after Param Brahma, Param Tama, Pavitram, Param Bhavan. Krishna glorifies Krishna as the supreme Brahman. And then he asks him to see his vibhutis. And Prabhupada says there that he doesn't need to see him himself, but he wants Krishna to show them so that other people will see them and be able to see him in that way. So that's also mentioned here, is it coming up in one of the next verses that's coming up before this list starts. So this is the list again. The super soul, the ultimate goal, time, the equilibrium of the modes, natural virtue, primary manifestation of nature, total material creation, the spirit soul, the mind, Brahma. Brahma comes up three times, I think. So among something, I am Brahma. He comes up two or three times. Omkar, the letter A, Gayatri, Indra, Agni, Vishnu, Shiva, Bhrigu, Manu in a generic sense, Narada, Kamathenu, Kapila, Garuda, Daksha, Aryama, Prahlad, Chandra, Kuvera, Aravata, Varuna, the sun, the king, Uchaishrava, gold, Yamaraj, Vasuki, Anantashesha, the lion, the sannyas order, Brahmanas, the Ganges, the ocean, the bow, which is among weapons I mean the bow, Shiva, Mount Sumeru, Himalayas, the holy fig tree, plants that bear grains, Vasishna Muni, Brihaspati, Kartikeya, Brahma, the study of the Vedas, non-violence, wind, fire, sun, water, and speech. Those are things that purify. That's what that list comes from. Samadhi, prudent political counsel, evidence of the soul, diversity of perception. This has to do with philosophy. I think it says something like, among philosophers, I am diversity of perception. Shatarupa, Swayambhuva Manu. Of course, Shatarupa is Swayambhuva Manu's wife. Narayana Rishi, Sanat Kumar, renunciation, consciousness of the eternal soul within, pleasant speech and silence, Brahma, the year, spring, Margashirsha, Abhijit, Satya Yuga, Devala and Asita, Veda Vyas, Shukracharya, Vasudeva. So this is the only Vishnu Tattva in this whole list, as far as I understand. His name comes up twice, actually, Vasudeva. Of course, Vasudeva is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Uddhava. So Krishna says, among devotees, I am you, Uddhava. Hanuman, Sudarshana. Now, I don't know if this is the same Sudarshan Chakra or a different Sudarshan. It's not explained in the purport. The ruby, so among gems, the ruby. The lotus cup, that means the shape of the lotus is like a cup, so the lotus cup. Kusha grass, ghee and other ingredients from the cow, fortune, gambling, forgiveness, good qualities, bodily and mental strength, devotional activities, Vasudeva, Vishvavasu, Purvachitti, she's an Apsara, the steadiness of mountains, fragrance of the earth, the taste of water, the sun, the effulgence of the sun, moon, and stars, the transcendental sound that vibrates in the sky. Now, this is one that caught my attention, but it doesn't have a purport. I don't know what it means. The transcendental sound that vibrates in the sky. Unless all sound is considered transcendental in a sense. Bali Maharaj, Arjuna, creation, maintenance, and annihilation of all living entities. The potency by which each sense experiences its object. Now this is a whole, there's a list here of several. They all come together in one group, and then something is said about them also in relation to them. So this, all each of these things, form, taste, aroma, touch, sound, mahatattva, earth, water, fire, air, sky, the living entity, material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the transcendental Lord. So here we have the Lord again. So finally, this is just at the very end, knowledge of their, these things I just mentioned, knowledge of their individual symptoms and the steady conviction that results from this knowledge. So that's pretty much the whole chapter. There's just a couple of verses after that. So I didn't see any discussion here about the particular forms of the Lord that one worships to get spiritual opulences. And the next chapter is Varnashram Dharma, so it doesn't seem like Krishna's going to talk about it there. So in any case, that's a summary of the chapter. So the next verse, and we have three verses I read today. So the next verse, basically Krishna's, or Uddhava is telling Krishna that you're the maintainer of all, but you remain hidden, and the living beings, bewildered by you, they're not able to see you. So I was saying, well, what does that have to do with what we just read and what comes next? Well, O supremely potent Lord, please explain to me your innumerable potencies. So the idea here seems to be, first of all, of course, Uddhava is just glorifying Krishna. Naturally, he can do that in any context. It doesn't have to fit in. But it seems to be that what's going on here is that he's saying that they can't see you, so please tell me how they can see you. That's the idea. In fact, if I remember correctly, I was looking at Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary. I think he brings out this point. The living entities, you're controlling everything, you're behind everything, but nobody can see you. What is it? Kunti Devi's first prayer. Namaste Purusham Twajam Ishwaram Prakate Param Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam Antar Bahira Vastitam. That's Kunti Devi's first prayer to Krishna. She says, you're inside everything and outside everything, but still nobody can see you. So this is the great paradox, isn't it? Krishna's everywhere, but we don't see him anywhere. Of course, the devotee sees Krishna everywhere. It's probably used to say, Krishna's everywhere, the non-devotees don't see him anywhere, but the devotees see him everywhere. They can't not see him, whereas the non-devotees, they can never see him. So it says, because they're under Krishna's material energy, they're not able. As the purport says, the Lord exists as the super soul within everything. He also appears in various incarnations or sometimes empowers a devotee to act as an incarnation. It's interesting here in this purport, you might have picked up on it, where it mentioned how, when the super soul appears in various incarnations, so I don't know about you, but I usually don't think the incarnation is the super soul appearing. Of course, the super soul is Krishna, the Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Each one of them is also called a super soul. Mahavishnu is the super soul of the total material energy, and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the universe, and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the atoms and in the heart of each living entity. So super soul, we have a sense, think of it in some kind of limited way, but the super soul is also Krishna, also, in a sense at least, Vishnu Tattva. In fact, this is something that's always puzzled me. Why is super soul at Paramatma in a separate category? Because super soul is also Bhagavan, isn't it? But because of his function, he's put in a separate category. So anyway, the non-devotees are not able to see him. So when I read this, I think, well, I'm not able to see him either, actually. Naiva sura pukitaya prabhavanti bodhum. There's a nice verse that Prabhupada would quote. He quotes it in Bhagavad Gita, and he quotes it in a few lectures. It's by Yamuna Acharya. Tvam shila rupa charitai parama prakrishtai satvena satvikataya prabhalaischa shastrai. Prakyata daiva paramarta vidam mataischa naivasura pukitaya prabhavanti bodhum. So the verse, this Yamunachari, he's praying, oh Lord, you are the supreme truth. It's very obvious because of your character and your qualities and your pastimes. And this is confirmed. This is confirmed by the pure devotees and by the scriptures and the mode of goodness. But those who are naiva asura prakritaya, those who have the prakriti or the nature of asuras, they're not able to understand this. They'll never accept you as the Supreme Personality of God, as the Supreme Absolute Truth. So why Here it says that those who are non-devotees or those who have the asuric mentality, they're not able to see Krishna. So if we're not able to see him, well, you can fill in the blanks. Maybe we're not quite there yet. So it says, they remain foolish and bewildered. They can't see the form of the Lord. So then in the third verse, he's asking, explain to me your innumerable potencies. So here it's specifically, it's interesting, though, in the translation it says, on the earth, in heaven, and in hell, indeed in all directions. So Uddhava's being very specific. I want to hear about all of it. Of course, Krishna, just like he told Arjuna, he's going to say, well, I can't tell you all of them because they're unlimited. But I'll give you some sample here and potencies that I can explain, I can expand within this universe. These are things that are visible to us within this universe. And they're all things that are meant to spark our remembrance of the Lord. We like to use the example of the taste of water. I myself don't have much of a taste for water, actually, but when you're really, really thirsty, I drink it for health. So that's another thing. What is that? Oshadhi Chintayat Vishnu, something like that. When one takes medicine, one should remember Vishnu. So you can remember water. If you're only taking it for your health, you can also remember Krishna for that way. He's the healing herb. He's the help that you get from staying hydrated. So all of these different things, there's an awfully big list here. As Prabhupada would say, what is the difficulty? How can you forget Krishna? Or they would probably say, they challenge, show us God. And Prabhupada would say, how can you not see him? Look at all of these. Show us. Well, Krishna has shown. Look at all of these things. Who cannot see God? In the night you get the moonshine, in the day you get the sunshine. And it goes on and on and on, so many things. So Krishna's, as here the purport ends here, as already explained, the Lord is the essential ingredient of all that exists. That comes up at the end, too, of this lesson. And Krishna says essentially the same thing. I'm actually the essence of everything. So these things that I'm explaining, you can say I'm the essence of all these things that I'm pointing out, or I'm the best in all of these different categories. I'm the best of everything. That's also a hint of how he's the essence within everything. What makes a thing what it is? What gives it its potency? Some things I read here today, I thought were quite interesting. The potency of the senses to connect with their objects, to get some realization or in contact, perception. So how is it that the tongue is able to taste? So that potency of the tongue to taste, that's Krishna. It's a potency, it's a power. It's quite mystical when you think about it. How does it work exactly? Actually, everything is mystical when you start thinking about it. That was Prabhupada's point. Prabhupada said, he is mystical, or he used the word chintya shakti. What is a chintya shakti? That was the example Prabhupada gave of the lemon tree. How is it producing citric acid? You don't know how it's doing it, or how the cow is producing milk. I was just reading when Prabhupada speaks out that I was preparing, and Srup Damodar, he was telling Prabhupada, I thought it was interesting, because Prabhupada, they did some experiment with Spanish moss. Well, we know a lot about Spanish moss. They did something, I forget how it works. Spanish moss is able to produce, with copper, it's produced some other chemical, I forget what it was, but it's almost like magic. They can't really explain how it happens. So there's so many things. Ultimately, anything, in fact, this morning I was just thinking, a great challenge to the theory of evolution is, where does form come from? You start off with this big bang and everything's just chaos. It's just chaotic. Of course, according to natural laws, everything goes to chaos, entropy. Everything tends to break down over time. So how do you get forms? And not only a human form with life, that's the most amazing thing, that you get a conscious being out of this explosion, but all the forms that appear in this world. Now, of course, Sariputta Prabhu, he argued that you it doesn't work because there has to be an addition of information. To get form, you have to add information to the mix to create something. Otherwise, you just have chaotic sound or whatever it is, chaotic, the elements. They're just homogeneous. So Krishna is that. He's that thing that makes it come together, that makes the form, that makes everything, meaningful, that gives everything meaning. Otherwise, it doesn't have any meaning. And of course, Krishna himself has form. This ties into the philosophy of those who say formlessness is superior. There's a nice example I heard. Just like in chaotic sound is formlessness. But if you take sound and you give it form with music, like a great symphony orchestra, and you've given the sound form, do you want to say that that's inferior to chaotic sound? Bunch of kids blowing on instruments and beating drums or whatever. No, it's superior when you have it in a form. You take that sound that's in one sense nothing. So similarly, why should you think that this form, that the Supreme Absolute Truth having form, is somehow inferior to the truth not having form? So similarly, this material world, it's the superior energy that comes in and gives it form, and that's Krishna. Krishna is manifesting himself in all of these things that we see. They have a specific potency to attract us. They have a power of attraction. That also, of course, is coming from Krishna. So I'll read through the translations again. Please tell me of the perfections that great sages achieve by worshipping you with devotion. Also, kindly explain which of your different forms they worship. O Lord, maintainer of all, although you are the supersoul of the living entities, you remain hidden. Thus, being bewildered by you, the living entities cannot see you, although you are seeing them. O supremely potent Lord, please explain to me your innumerable potencies, which you manifest on the earth, in heaven, in hell, and indeed in all directions. I offer my humble obeisances at your lotus feet, which are the shelter of all holy places. Actually, I was reading this, I was thinking of the idea that maybe there's not an answer to this. We know that in Brahma Loka, the Bhagavatam is much, much bigger, so maybe you have to go there if you want to hear it. I also noticed that when Vidura, there's a whole chapter where Vidura asks so many questions. And then Prabhupada says, Maitreya will answer these one after the other. And there are a lot of them I say, I've heard this many times, and I don't hear the answer to this. This question that Vidura asks, I can't seem to find the answer anywhere. So I guess I have to go to Brahmaloka to get the answer. It's not in this abridged edition of only 18,000 verses. Raghatmika Prabhu?
In one of the purports, it was stated that the Lord empowers a devotee to act as an incarnation. Would that be a Shaktivesh avatar?
Yes, I would think so. We just don't hear them in any other way.
Also, yeah. One of those items you read off the list was gambling.
Oh, yes.
Did that
start? Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the gambling of cheats, doesn't he? It's the same thing.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That didn't come to me. Okay, thank you.
Yes?
That comprehensive list that you read of the vibhutis, you mentioned Sukracharya, so I found that interesting because instead of mentioning Brihaspati, he says he's Sukracharya.
Was Brihaspati mentioned too? I think so.
Both of them. Okay. And so the question is, in that Vibhuti Yoga chapter in Gita, does he mention Sukracharya also?
Yes.
He does. Sukracharya also.
Yeah, I'm just skimming through quickly to see if I can see what category he's mentioned in. Sukracharya. Among learned scholars, I am Sukracharya, it says here. Mm-hmm. So he knows enough, yeah. Not to get in trouble, but something. Kavinam, Kavya. So kavya here means Shukracharya.
Interesting thing about the evolution theory, because I recently heard a lecture by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. He was giving at ISV about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and there were so many interesting things he talked about that Prabhupada privately spoke that are not in anywhere found. But one of the things he said, that when he was a PhD student and he asked Srila Prabhupada in a humble mood that what his thesis should be about, so Srila Prabhupada said, dispute this theory of evolution. Mm-hmm. So he was in complete anxiety. He didn't know how to even go about it. So I think in New Vrindavan he met Sadaputa Prabhu, mm-hmm. and they bonded, and he revealed his heart that, do you have any idea how I can do this? And Sadaputa Prabhu said, it's not a big deal. None of the mathematicians believe in the theory of evolution. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's like not such an acceptable thing even among scientists. You know, like uh-huh. people, especially the mathematicians.
Well, it's interesting. It's, of course, it's the foundation of anything you study. If you study psychology or sociology, or they all just the default, the basis of it all is evolution. They explain everything on the basis of evolution. But in the scientific community, none of them agree. They disagree with each other. All there's no one theory that they all agree on. So they're all, it's like they accept it on the principle. It seems like it's negative theology, which is one thing Sadaputta Prabhu pointed out. Because what else do you have? Either you have a creator, or it evolves somehow. And we don't want a creator messing up our lives, so it must be evolution. So somehow or other, we're going to stick to it, and we're going to prove that it's true, even though it doesn't make it. I mean, of course, even just commonsensically, it's saying, what? So you had this explosion, and now you have us? How could that possibly be? It makes no sense from that perspective. Janashtami Prabhu?
When you were commenting on the first verse you're covering, I think you said that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary like allowed for the vibhutis to be in Vishnu Tattva?
Yeah.
Oh, so but then you came back and you said, no, I'm really confused about this.
No, that was I was talking about the second verse, I think. No, I think it comes up later in the chapter. In fact, I think it comes up in one of these purports. There's one fairly long purport. Mostly they're just all short purports. A lot of them don't have purports. But there's one fairly long one, and I think it's in the course of that purport where that point is made, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the vibhutis can include, or they, in this chapter at least, they include, because we do have Vasudeva there, but that's it, and then it says the transcendental form of the Lord. Those are the only two mentions. Anyway, we'll get at text 41, I think is where it comes in. But I'm asking about the first question. It seems to me the question doesn't seem to be related to the chapter, and it also doesn't seem to be answered in the chapter. That was my confusion. Yeah.
I have a couple other questions.
You were mentioning how the demoniac can't view, or, you know, the text and purport, how the demoniac can't see the supersoul, and you were indicating, well, I guess that, you know, says something about us. But what I'm wondering is that sadhakas, they are able to perceive Krishna. You know, they may not be able to see him, but they experience his presence, they experience a taste in serving him. And it almost seems like this is the third stage of God realization, Bhagavan. You know, that we got Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. It seems like, and I've often wondered about this, when do we get this Paramatma realization? When does that come? Because it's supposed to precede it, at least in the yoga ladder, but Prabhupada also expresses this in different places where that's, but it does, you know, I was wondering, well, when is that going to happen with me? And I mean, we get, you know, kind of these, I often joke, you know, when there's kind of a coincidence, it's, well, we're in the Super Soul Network, Prabhu. You know, when you're about ready to call someone and then they call you, that kind of thing. But do you have any thoughts on that?
I've asked a prior question.
What's
when
that?
When does Atma Gyan come? When do we see the Jiva?
Yeah.
It's not, as far as I can see, and I've asked all some senior devotees, and I can't seem to get a good answer about it, because it doesn't seem to be something that's really discussed in our books. We have our Ado Shada, Adu Tsadu Sangha, and so on. So there's not one place in there where it says, you know, at this stage, then you get Atma Tattva Gyan, directly perception, pratyaksha of the soul. So the same thing with Paramatma. It's almost like we're not worried about those things. We only want devotion to Krishna. We're not interested in this kind of gyan. We're interested in gyan about Krishna, Krishna bhakti. That's our whole concentration. So all I can say is I don't see it discussed anywhere. Everything we're discussing, or at least most of it, is in the context of pure devotional service. So whether at some point we're able to see directly, of course, we hear in our scriptures that the Mahabhagavat can see Krishna everywhere, so he must be seeing the Jiva also everywhere, and the Paramatma everywhere. But that's in a very, very high stage of realization, completely beyond, as far as I understand, beyond the modes of material nature and stage of pure devotion.
One other question. You had this huge list and quite diverse. Now, one of the functions of understanding or observing the vibhutis is to strengthen our commitment to the process of devotional service. But it almost seems like, gosh, it's all over the place, you know, and it's a little difficult sometimes to perceive how. What I'm getting out of this in terms of strengthening my commitment. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the idea.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Arjuna does this, to help other jivas. This is why it's brought up here. But, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult to understand exactly, well, how's this working?
Well, I would think the help comes just by hearing these things. Maybe just pausing to think about it and appreciate it. This word was used here, appreciation. And when you have, I was thinking of this morning, it's very important to have gratitude. Somebody spoke about that recently. And I was thinking how gratitude begins with appreciation. You have to have appreciation first, then you have gratitude. If you don't appreciate something, then you're not grateful for it. So this is a way also for us to get some appreciation of Krishna. Oh, look how amazing Krishna is. He's the potency behind all of these things that are amazing, and we get more gratitude, and of course that connects to bhakti. We have gratitude towards Krishna. That's an element of devotion to Krishna. I can see it tying in that way.
I was looking from nectar devotion angle that there are 18 defects in the material body or forms that Rupa Goswami Pada listed, lethargy, you know, deterioration. This is not present in Satchidananda form. So vibhutis are mostly are the form that actually these 18 defects are there, in a sense. So then I was thinking that you mentioned that actually devotees are the one who sees Krishna everywhere. So those vibhutis are actually acting as a uddipan. Just like Prabhupada says, the mother so much in love with the child, she sees the shoes of the baby, and she's thinking of the baby. So is the baby there in the shoes or not there? Well, it is there, she is there, but the shoes is a uddipan. So from that angle, probably all the vibhuti actually reminds of that Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, how do you explain that Vanadeki Brahmahai, Ei Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu saw the forest? Has nothing to do with Vrindavan, but he saw Vrindavan. So that's uddipan, like all these vibhutis are uddipan, those who are in love. Otherwise then, without sthayi bhav, the anubhav, alamban, uddipan, or sanchari bhav, bebichari bhav, they have no real value without sthayi bhav. So somebody has a sthayi bhav means that he has a love, he's holding the Lord in the heart. Then he sees everything is related and he sees in ecstasy.
Yeah, of course, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sinha, these uddipans are usually quite specific. But if you take it in a more general way, all of these things can inspire us in that. In that. Actually, as you were talking, I was thinking how there's some, like Jamashtami is alluding to, the idea that they're so broad, these categories. It's not like, okay, it's one thing. Now here we don't, Krishna didn't mention the fishes on the shark, but there are those kinds of things which you might say are very gross. They're really elements of this material world. Well, he does mention the holy fig tree, so a tree, okay. But then there's the Mahatattva, and then you have devotees in the list. You have Narada, and you have Uddhava. So it's such a difference conceptually in what these things are. You have Mahabhagavat, pure devotees, and then you have some gross material element. All of these things, Krishna displays his power in so many different ways. Whatever level that you're observing this world, you can find some aspect of Krishna manifested there, some potency of Krishna coming through. So it was very inclusive, wide-ranging description. Do you remember?
So the Lord says, I am everything. And then yet I'm aloof. In one sense, I'm aloof from everything. And then here he says, I am these prominent things. A long time back, I had read the Vishnu Purana, or part of it, and Vishnu Purana gives some good philosophical explanation how he's actually these prominent things. But, I mean, I was not paying so much attention then, and I just couldn't remember exactly, but I know that Vishnu Purana gives an explanation. How it comes to the idea, well, that the Lord is these things. One other point was Atma-tattva realization, especially when one does meditation. Then at some point in his meditation, he comes to Atma-tattva realization. But through bhakti, I guess it's a different story.
Yeah, For a devotee, it's like we don't think of the Atma separate from Krishna. The Prabhupada says you don't see yourself in the morning until you see the sun, you see the sunlight. So the Atma doesn't exist for us conceptually separate from Krishna. So it's like whatever stage we understand Krishna, then we understand our Swarup. At that time we get Atma Tattva, it seems to me at least. That's because there's no idea that we could actually see ourselves and not see Krishna or see Paramatma at the same time. Of course, maybe there's some other way. There's Brahma Gyan, but we don't see that discussed. We don't see those stages discussed in our books. That devotees go step by step, Brahma Gyan, and then Paramatma, and then Bhagavan. We just worship Bhagavan, and at some point, the lights come on.
So
self-realization means mukti aritanyata rupam swarupena vyavastiti. It's that the self exists only in relationship with Krishna. That's our self-realization. Self-realization means God-realization at the same time. Otherwise, you haven't really realized the self. That's another important point of our philosophy. Aruya krishtrena parampadam tata patanti taho nad yuta yushmarangraya. The impersonalists think they're liberated. They think I've experienced the self or Brahman, soham, I am that self. But they haven't really. It's incomplete. So real self-realization means you understand Krishna and your relationship with Krishna. You understand everything, as Prabhupada would say. You understand everything. You understand the material world, you understand Krishna, you understand the living entity, and you understand their relationship with each other, each one. All of that is revealed. When you through devotion, actually, that's how it comes. By devotion to Krishna, it's all revealed. Oh, Radhamdhar.
I was remembering a little conversation with Sadaputta Dasa. One day I was standing in line at the Brother Sunny Feast tables, and I asked him, just for conversation, I said, why do you associate with all these scientists? Aren't they all demons? He said, actually, I'd never met a scientist who didn't believe in God, at least for a little bit. He said, I'll give an example. He said, Do you believe that there's a child hidden, could hide in this pump house over there? And I said, no. He said, frankly, I don't either, but let's make a little experiment here. He says, here, take my gun. So he took an imaginary gun out of his waistband, and he carefully counted the bullets. He said, there are 6 bullets here. Just discharge them into the pump house. And he says, you see, you're reluctant to do it just because with every bullet, the possibility rises of hitting a child. So similarly, the scientist, he says, you actually do believe in child hiding in the pump house because you're not able to fire the gun. So the scientists, they do these experiments. They say, let me explain the universe. It could be this, or it could be evolution, or it could be God. And I'll just factor that in about 1%. And then as they do the experiments, for thousands of experiments, the God factor rises up to the top, so they have to believe it. And he says, and that's what I wrote a book about.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what the book's there for.
Yeah, they accept, of course, they accept that there's logic. There's logic and order, and there are laws. There's something absolute. It's not that everything is just crazy and wacky and makes no incoherent and so on. They understand. They accept as a foundation of their research that there's a coherence to this everything that to existence, and they're trying to discover what it is. So you can say that, and it said they're implying that there is God, whatever. They don't know what that God is or how to define it, but the coherence itself implies that there's some universal logic, or however you want to refer to it, that's holding it all together.
Quick question. Did you compare the list in Bhagavad Gita with this list?
No.
Nagaraj, come on.
You can write a computer program and do that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
By the moonlight, it produced more calcium.
Oh, that was it.